In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And you will be with the child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "and may it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. Luke 1:26-38. Prophecies were given, promises were made, and many have been fulfilled. There are shouts of praise lifted up, and an awestruck wonder realized. Here now the Son of God, Jesus, now also the Son of Man. He had left heaven, became clothed in flesh, coming to earth, not as a conqueror, mighty in strength, but as a baby, being delivered to us through the womb of a woman, an infant who would grow to be a man and who would fulfill the need of all men as a sacrifice that would free all who would believe in him. The Son of God would leave the glory of heaven, start his earthly journey as you and I once did as a babe, and he would do what no other could do, conquer death, freeing all who were being held in its grip and giving to them hope for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. John 3:16-17. As I was reading the scripture passages above, I couldn't help but wonder what must have been going through Mary's mind at the time of Gabriel's appearing. Did he just appear? What was she doing when he appeared? What would my response have been? And I made note of the timing of everything is done in God's time when he has everything and everyone set into place. Gabriel announced to her that she was highly favored, that the Lord is with her. And I was reminded that he is with us always. He knows who we are, what we are doing, and the willingness of our hearts to serve and of the ways to spend our days. Mary was frightened, and it must have showed a little bit. But Gabriel comforted her and assured her that there was no need to be afraid. And then came the news. She, not yet married, would be with child soon, and the Spirit of God would overshadow her, and she would conceive, and it would be the Son of God that she would carry within her womb. And then in a short time, that conversation took place. In that short time, she committed herself to serve as she had been called to do. She did not need a couple of days to think about it, but responded to the angel Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant, and may it be to me as you have said." Her complete trust in the Lord God on full display, and the problems that would be before her now she turned over to the Lord. He was, she proclaimed, in control, and she would follow his lead. Time is a human factor. Before time and after time is recorded, no more eternity was, is, and will be. A record is what time is, a testimony to the work of God's hand. Man cannot stop time, nor can he slow it down. Even the enemy of God is not able to change it, because time belongs to God to do with as he pleases. So why was Jesus born when he was? Because it was on God's time. It was in his plan, and it was under his authority. Mary would have known of the announcement given by Isaiah of the coming Messiah, and she would have been with the nation waiting for the fulfillment that was to come, for Isaiah wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And Isaiah would continue speaking of this child in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so once again, we know the power of God's time. Jesus would one day tell his disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in this, he proclaims to them yet again who he is. And it is not a contested statement, as there are no arguments to be made. And the facts are the facts, and the word of God is the word of God. And he would tell them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His birth, his coming to earth, his being born of a virgin, his obedient service, his knowing of who he was, and yet not because he couldn't, but choosing not to, he humbly walked as a man among men. He walked a path no other could walk. He was not persuaded by pride. He was not tempted by possession. He had not a home to protect and be distracted by. His work was of the kingdom to come, and all that he needed was supplied for him. Each thing he said, each thing he did, was to the glory of God the Father. He came to die, that those who would believe in him could live. And he never lost sight of the purpose or of the sacrifice for which he had come to fulfill. His was a long-suffering journey. And how much like him can we say we truly are? What if you looked at your life in the context of asking yourself, why am I here today? Why did God send me to be here now? And what is my purpose in the work of his kingdom? Could we possibly take our focus off of ourselves, our hopes, our dreams, and put them in the perspective of what his hopes and his dreams are for us? Everything about Jesus was about God the Father, by his compassion, his mercy, his righteous anger. He did not lord over people, but rather told them of the Lord, invited them in, and helped them to walk in, to see once they were there, and to hear what they could not hear before. He did not push. He did not demand. He simply raised the questions and told the answers in parables and stories with depth and meaning. And too often we will begin to listen to another speak, but somewhere word draws us off the path and we begin to add our thoughts to what's being said. And so what we hear becomes diluted and not of its pure form. Jesus was not distracted in this sense. He knew the word. He was the word. And he came for a purpose. He came at a predestined time. He pursued his own coming, even knowing that pain and suffering, death, was the calling he had answered to. Jesus became the Son of Man upon his birth here on earth by taking on flesh and walking the ways of men, but never in them, because he fully was the Son of God and fully divine. How beautiful the sacrifice made that he left heaven to come to earth to walk amongst men, and in a world that would deny him, prove its hate of him, and the fear that was held by those in power towards him, a power given to them by him. Yet he would die for them also, so that they would be set free from the bonds of the curse when a man questioned the integrity of his Creator. From Psalm 89, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever with my mouth, and I will make my faithfulness known to all generations, and I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Yes, we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, of the baby Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate life. We celebrate freedom and sacrifice. We celebrate and exalt the Lord our God because of his love. For he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that life begins the moment that you ask him into your heart, no matter the shape you are in, where you are at, or how you got there. He waits for you to invite him in, to welcome him in as fully as Mary did, and to commit yourself to him, and for you to take your eyes off the temporary and focus on the eternal. No greater love has ever been known. No greater price has ever been paid. At that time, at his birth, time was separated for all time. As we celebrate the birth of Christ, we are to prepare the way of his return, and we are to tell this generation and those that will follow of the mighty deeds that he has done. And it is to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.